This time on Culture File, we're back journeying across the perfumes of the 20th century with our scent correspondent Odette Toilette. When we last spoke to Odette, we met the blockbuster scent of 1911, Narcisse Noir, a perfume that defined the smell of an era. But by the time the First World War took hold, perfume was drawn into the conflict with the once popular 4711, decried as the scent of the enemy.
The First World War obviously disrupted perfume in the way it will have disrupted all sorts of things, and perfume should be disrupted when there's something like the First World War happening. It was more like a pause, and actually after the war ended, the kind of the hysteria and the keenness struck back up again immediately. You still had perfume being sold, so supply was more limited, but it wasn't stopped altogether. There were a couple of interesting products around during the First World War. The first was something called Esfiotto, which was a violet-scented bottle of perfumed hand drops released by Bronley, and ostensibly to keep the hands soft, but a lot of it was about having this violet perfume exuding from your lovely, dainty, feminine fingers. And that advertised itself for women who were now having to work, and maybe they were taking up manual labour and their lovely, delicate fingers were getting rough and calloused. And so you get this idea that the violet is almost this link with the leisured past and can restore that once more. And then you also had a funny, this is only in high society, but this anti-German sentiment, obviously, which meant that poor old 4711 cologne, which was very popular, being sold, advertising heavily, despite being a German product, was being laid into in some circles as being the perfume from the Huns, and that true Brits actually should be buying Yardley. So stay away from the 4-7. So it's funny how this jingoism and patriotism infected and infused everything, including perfume. The 1920s in fragrance is possibly the most fun, inventive and cheeky decade. There are so many new perfumes coming out left, right and centre. So all that innovation that's been gearing up in the lead up to the First World War starts to spill forth and really accelerate. Women have a little bit, well, in some circles, a lot more freedom to express themselves. Obviously, have finally got the vote, and young women are rejecting the sensibilities of their parents, and they want to go out partying. They want to be a little bit outrageous, and I think perfumes really fuel this mood, and really are such an important part of this decade. I think the fun in the 1920s is that you have such a riot of lifestyle trends happening, and perfume really improvised and innovated off the back of that. So, for example, in 1919, Caron, who had come out with Narcisse Noir before the war, released Tabac Blonde. And then a few years later, Molinard, the perfume house, released Habanita. And these were both perfumes for the smoking woman. In this new mood of female emancipation and women smoking cigarettes, you had quite an alignment between perfumery and smoking. So, for example, you could buy perfumed cigarettes quite readily. You could get rose cigarettes, amber cigarettes. You could also buy your perfume flacon in a box that was advertised as being suitable for then putting your cigarettes in. And you were even invited to dip your cigarette in your perfume so that the scent would be fragranced. And you then had releases that were responding to the fact that so many perfumes were coming out that women were finding it ever so difficult to choose. So funny, you know, oh, what's a girl to do? I can't decide what perfume. So Jean Patou came out with three fragrances, which were designed to be worn with specific hair colours. So if you're blonde, you had to have one. And if you're redhead, I think it was Adieu Sagace. And there was another one for brunettes. And there's this idea that you've got to find the right perfume for your personality and your profile and what kind of woman you are. That really comes in the 20s.
The name Chanel is one that we think is the epitome of the 20s, but I guess that covers up a lot of activity.
Yes, the 20s does sort of belong to Chanel, and of course she really didn't like Paul Poiret. She thought that his clothes were like being in a pantomime, and his fragrances too being too baroque and ornate, and so she comes along and sweeps it all aside with these fairly lean, mean compositions like Chanel No. 5. She also had a gorgeous one in the 20s, a Russian leather, Cuir de Russie. Chanel were not the only people coming out with Russian leather. It was very trendy and had been for a while. The lovely thing about these smells is they have that birch tar smell. And so they are very deep and mellow. I think of the kind of wood you'd find on an instrument like a cello or a double bass. Quite smoky. Not in a cigarette sort of way, but more in a bonfire somewhere over there kind of way. Originally, I think it had some birch tar extract in it, and that's become more difficult to use in perfumery. So you also get this other thing going on as time goes by where fragrances need to be reformulated. So a lot of perfumes that we have now that were available in the 20s and are still for sale now might not smell exactly the same because you've had to cut things out, find alternatives, redo them. Sometimes it's because there are materials that were available and that had a source and a supply chain at that time, but which either aren't obtainable or are too expensive to use now. Back in the 20s, you were only talking about a few thousand bottles. Now, the scale is so different in fine fragrance that to get a good supply of whatever material, you need a lot more of it. The obstructions that the fragrance industry now face certainly weren't there at the same level in the 1920s. It was kind of, you find a new material, it passes the grade, and you get using it. And so if you did buy vintage perfume online now or at a market and you put it on, some of them might be a little bit dodgy for you to use on your skin. I do though.
Odette Toilette there, and she'll be continuing her journey into scent next Friday on Culture File. Meantime, if you'd like to share your memory of scents gone by, we'd love to hear from you, and if you'd leave us a voicemail, that would be ideal. The number to ring is 061 748 472, and don't forget to leave us your name. And thank you to all of you who have left memories in our scent message box, but there's plenty more room in there. It's in the cloud, you see.